Welcome to Pushing War, Organizing Resistance. Today is August 18th, 2008. I'm your host, Carol Brie, and this was going to be the Power to the People show with Rosa Clemente and Cynthia McKinney. However, I don't know if we're going to be able to get Rosa or Cynthia tonight because I think their lives are so chaotic. I know Cynthia has to get up really early in the morning to catch a plane, and we're going to try to get Rosa right now. And if we don't get Rosa, then we will get some other guests, and the other guests include Les Jamison, who is one of the main leaders of the New York 9/11 Truth Group, and he's been working very hard to get the New York City ballot initiative passed and has been collecting signatures. And so he's going to give us an update on what's happening in New York City. And following Les Jamison, we'll also have on Kyle Hentz. Kyle, I've known since the early 9/11 days. He was with me on the first phone conference calls before there was a Northern California 9/11 Truth Alliance or a 9/11 Truth Alliance. And he is one of the founders of Citizen Watch. He also helped produce Aftermath, Unanswered Questions from 9/11, 9/11 Press for Truth, and In Their Own Words, a number of excellent documentaries. He's done some really fantastic work. And I haven't talked to Kyle in a while, so we're going to actually catch up. But this is what we do. We are activists, and we do the best we can under the circumstances. So hi, Les, are you there?
I sure am. Hello, Carol. Thank you for having me on tonight.
Oh, well, I know that we've been just organizing like crazy, and you've been organizing like crazy. So why don't you just give us an update on what's happening in New York, what's happening with the ballot initiative, how people can pitch in and help, what your strategy is at this point.
Right. Well, we have been engaged in this campaign here for the creation of a public referendum, and you Californians are very familiar with these. You've been doing them for years there as propositions, but they're rare here in New York, and this is built off of the concept that former Senator Mike Gravel has worked on for 20 years with these national initiatives, and there's a provision in New York City Charter which allows for the creation of a ballot initiative, and with the gathering of 30,000 signatures minimum, and then with the passage of this through New York City Council, this can actually get on the ballot. Also, the mayor has a prerogative to block it if he wants to, which is another story. But the main thing is this is a vehicle where grassroots democracy can take place, where the people use the power of the petition to bring forth an issue that they want to put on the ballot and hopefully enable themselves to vote on the creation of their own legislation. Now, we've taken this particular vehicle and put together a ballot initiative that would call for the creation of a new, independent, impartial 9/11 commission that would conduct a brand new investigation that would be thorough, authentic, fact-driven, that will follow wherever the evidence leads, which is what has never happened since 9/11. The government's official investigation was anything but that. It was basically a government-orchestrated cover-up and a restatement of the Bush administration's official account of 9/11 being it was to be blamed on bin Laden and to be blamed on these 19 young Arabs with box cutters.
I remember, marching, demanding a congressional investigation, and witnessing how they got Bob Graham and Porter Goss to head the first Senate inquiry, and to how they limited the investigation, and how the 9/11 Commission was really a cover-up commission directed by Philip Zelikow, who was really part of the Bush team. Now, your proposition sounds much more promising than when we saw at in Congress and with the heavy influence of the major movers and shakers in the Bush administration. But how exactly would this commission be financed, and would it have subpoena powers?
Yes, this commission would have subpoena power because it's written into the text of the legal language here, and it would become, if this is, if we can get this on the ballot and it gets passed by the voters of New York, it would literally become part of New York City Charter, which is the law that governs the city, and then thereby it would include the provisions for subpoena power, and the commissioners would conduct a thorough investigation, which would then lead to the let's see how I word this, the seeking of getting a special prosecutor or a grand jury, I believe, actually a special prosecutor to then bring up indictments and, you know, seek conviction for those indictments. So this is much, much, much more comprehensive and substantial than any effort to date. There have been great efforts at putting together investigative bodies of evidence, but this would have legal authority, which is the difference. And as far as the financing, it would be privately financed. It would not come out of taxpayer funds. It would be there are people of substantial wealth, and also I think celebrities would come forward and help to finance this. And through internet fundraising from people around the world who know that this type of investigation must take place, we will fund it. That said, you know, the presidential elections, these campaigns, they raised hundreds of millions of dollars, for God's sakes. You know, for the investigation of Whitewater and Monica Gate for the Clinton impeachment, that was $60 million. You know, let's put things in perspective. We spent $13 million an hour in Iraq. This is very little to spend for such a promising and such a monumental need, which is to uncover the deception that has been surrounding 9/11, the official deception, and to finally get truth and accountability and to hold our government to the rule of law, which has not been done. This government has been breaking the rule of law and violating the Constitution ever since it seized power in the year 2000. So this is absolutely vital. Getting to the truth of 9/11 is the ultimate anti-war effort. It is the ultimate resolution to all our domestic and foreign areas and issues of injustice. Every domestic and foreign injustice, because by revealing the truth behind 9/11, we can, I think, finally get behind the forces of empire and show them for what they are, that and how they've overtaken our country and our policy. So here in New York, what we are working on is this, the creation for this special investigation that would be, again, with subpoena power and full, thorough, comprehensive, and with an independent slate of commissioners. We have people like Lori Van Auken, a family member. Wouldn't that make sense to have a family member on a commission? We have Dr. William Pepper, an international attorney, two former Senator Mike Gravel and Lincoln Chafee. So we have both a Democrat and Republican. Ralph Schoenman, back in the 60s, he was on the Bertrand Russell Commission, Tribunal, I'm sorry. And currently he hosts a show on a Pacifica station here in New York called Taking Aim. And also a Roman Catholic bishop, Thomas Gumbleton, and we have others that are interested in supporting this. Believe it or not, we have support from Ralph Nader, Dan Ellsberg, Jesse Ventura, Dallas Cowboys football player Mark Stabnowski, Tony Award-winning actress Christine Ebersole, former NSA analyst Wayne Mattson. We have very, very powerful support behind this. Ray McGovern, former CIA analyst and co-founder of Veterans for Intelligence, Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. That's it. And
Les, can I ask you, there is a deadline for the signatures for the petitions, and it's September 4th, I believe? Is that...
Right. Here's the thing. We are in overtime innings here, so to speak. We are up against the deadline. We have 27,000 signatures, and that's very profound. We need 30, a minimum of 30, and ideally we need an extra 5,000 at least to, have.
But that's still 2 weeks away. Is it still in the realm of physical possibility for you guys to get those signatures and in the time period if people put an all-out effort into it? Les? Whoops. I can't hear you. I don't know if we've gone on a break. We might have gone on a break. And I will have to look at a different part of my computer to see if we're on a break. This is Questioning War, Organizing Resistance on We the People Radio Network. And I did lose my guest. And I hope I can find out what's going on here. Les? I've lost my sound. Can you hear me? I know... I've been just, frankly, on the phone and on the computer the whole day, because here in California we're also organizing events around September 11th. We're organizing a rally. We're organizing a march. We're organizing a 9/11 film festival. And I know that Les is hard at work there in New York also, and that the petition gathering effort has raised a lot of awareness. Just having people go out with petitions, that's a great way to educate the public about the situation. And I know that they are still trying to gather signatures. That's what I was hoping Les could inform us about, and hopefully we'll be able to get him back on the phone during the next break. But we lost him there, and I think we do have these incredible technical challenges. There's one thing that Cynthia McKinney and Rosa Clemente... let me see. I think we might have him back. Les?
Yes, I'm back now.
Oh, great. Well, we're just about to go to a break, but can you guys do it? Is it possible to still get those petitions filled in time?
We don't know, but we're going after it anyway. We have to continue, and all our signatures will be valid for next year regardless. So we're going to continue and give it all we can. We're just out here petitioning every day, and
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Let's impeach George W. Bush, it's long, long overdue. While we're at it, let's make sure to impeach Dick Cheney, too. A pair of world-class criminals like you never seen before. Start impeachment right away.
Hello, welcome back to Quishing War, Organizing Resistance. I'm Carol Breyer, and I'm speaking with Les Jamison. And so tell us, it is possible to gather the signatures, and even if it doesn't work for this year, they'll be still good for next year?
Correct. They will be valid for next year. We are doing all we can to get to the 30,000-plus mark, because that will be a news headline. That's, you know, very much part of the process here is getting media attention behind this, because we need as much PR as possible so that the general public gets the message here and begins to understand not only that this public referendum is something that empowers them, but that there's also the necessity for a real 9/11 investigation. And so it's a multi-layered process here, and we absolutely are going to continue whether city council and the city clerk of New York gives us the time to get this through on the ballot in November, or whether we have to continue to the following year. It's still going to all be right, because if we don't get on this November's ballot, maybe it's better that we'll have more time to cultivate relationships with unions and more organizations to create a political pressure here that will help to really show that there's a powerful mandate. And that's how this has to be seen, is this is a political campaign, and we need to show a mandate from the citizenry saying that we, people of New York City, do not accept the official story and do not accept the cover-up. It's a travesty of justice, and we want truth and accountability and justice here for what occurred in our city and, of course, in D.C. and in Pennsylvania. And 9/11 was, an event that affected everybody in this nation, everybody around the world. This is an all-encompassing event in which we are affected by every single day, but it's a big process. The average citizen, just does not get it, does not understand, does not make the connection that they are affected every day by what occurred on 9/11. And so there's a big educational effort that's got to ensue here going forward. And of course, cultivating the relationships with New York City Council and organizations and unions to get behind this. To promote and advocate so that we ensure passage and get this on the ballot, whether it's this year or whether it takes a little bit more time and comes up in the near future.
Can I ask you a question? When you're out on the streets and you're trying to gather signatures on the petition, what is the normal response by the New Yorkers, or is there no such thing as a normal New Yorker response?
I must say, even here in New York City, where it occurred, the majority of people are in a trance. They're just living their daily lives, trying to survive, and addicted to entertainment, and just not thinking about politics. It's remote for most people. Most people, unfortunately, are not activists. Most people are not politically engaged, and that said, though, we've gathered 27,000 signatures, and here's another issue, Carol. There's a lot of fear. A lot of other people would have signed our petition, but they're afraid. They're thinking they're going to get a knock on the door and be hoisted off to a concentration camp in the middle of the night.
That's the barrier. They don't want to be on a list, and they don't want the government to know that they're dissenters or that they don't believe the official story.
Exactly. So this is part of the challenge. And people are recognizing. The other thing is our petition, this is different than a candidate petition that's like usually a paragraph or two, most propositions. This is a three-page petition. It's a very involved document, and it has to include all the legal language because it would become part of New York City Charter. So that's another challenge here. It's a three-page document, and so it takes a little bit of time to get each signature. So that said, I want to encourage your listeners, Carol, If you know anybody in New York City, please send them to our website, which is www.nyc911initiative.org. I'll repeat that. It's nyc911initiative.org. Or they can call our hotline at 646-537-1755. Please urge anybody you know in New York City who's a voter to go to our website. They can download the petition. They can sign our guest book and volunteer to petition with us and be part of this historic and heroic effort. Also, if you know anybody who lives in New Jersey, Long Island, Connecticut, they can come in and work with us petitioning as well.
They don't have to be a registered resident to gather signatures?
No, you don't have to be a registered voter to gather signatures. As long as you're with someone who is a registered voter to do the fill out the witness section. So, no, you can help if you live in New Jersey, and Connecticut, wherever. Come to New York. We've had people come from Boston and Connecticut to come and work with us, and New Jersey as well. The other thing, folks, is funding. This takes money. We have to hire petitioners and buy materials, banners, pay for printing and all this. And I just want everybody to consider in context, look at what the presidential candidates raise, hundreds of millions of dollars, and they'll never pursue the creation of an independent 9/11 commission. Let's face it, it's not going to happen. We will. That's what we are working on. So we ask for everybody to help with a minimum $25 donation, which can be done on our website. It's the cost of an average meal for two. If you can help out even greater than that, absolutely. This is so necessary. We need to create a mandate here and get 60,000 to 90,000, 100,000 signatures to show that, again, there's a powerful mandate here demanding truth. And if we can get 20,000 people around the country to donate just $25, that's, you know what, $500,000. With $20,000, we can do a TV ad blitz on the local TV news station for 2 weeks. With $50,000, $60,000, we can take out a half-page ad in the local newspapers. This is the way we have to look at it, like a campaign that's serious and professional. So, again, the website is nyc911initiative.org, and the hotline is 646-537-1755. And we say we owe it to the victims, to the first responders, to the victims' families, to ourselves, and to future generations to correct this history and to set the proper course going forward where we cannot allow mega scandals like this to go uninvestigated and especially to have these scandals support these agendas for imperial domination, which was outlined by Project for New American Century in the document Rebuilding America's Defenses, where they basically called for said that in order to for Americans to support their agenda for a military transformation, it will require a catastrophic catalyzing event like a new Pearl Harbor. And this was never even brought up. Building 7 was the third building, not even struck by an airplane, fell down in a free fall in its own footprint, 6.5 seconds. Not explained. And put option that occurred on and on, showing foreknowledge, the evacuation of 160 Saudi nationals and 40 bin Laden, not interrogated, the removal of steel debris at Ground Zero, which was forensic evidence, melted down overseas.
Great host, great topics, brief speech at its best. This is We the People Radio Network.
Welcome back to Questioning War, Organizing Resistance. This is Carol Brier, and I'm speaking with Kyle Hentz. And Kyle was the founder of Citizens Watch. He also helped produce the films Aftermath, Unanswered Questions from 9/11, 9/11 Press for Truth. In their own words, he was the founder of Citizens Watch. He was actually one of the first 9/11 activists that I encountered via the internet and also in telephone conference calls. So welcome so much. Thank you for joining us this evening, Kyle, especially at the very last minute.
Oh, I'm glad to fill in. I've got big shoes to fill, but I'm glad I'm here, and thank you for the invitation.
Well, you have worked with Cynthia McKinney. I know that we organized the San Francisco Inquiry, and you organized both the 9/11 and the public safety hearings in Washington, D.C., and then later in September 2004, you held some outstanding hearings, which I think Cynthia chaired.
The Citizens Commission.
I'm really sorry that she's not with us, but I think that she does say on her campaign website that we have to do things that we have never done before. And I think both you and I and Cynthia have tried to do the impossible.
Yeah, we were fighting for, you know, getting some recognition and having hearings when the Democrats were in the majority and when Cynthia was in the Congress. And, I think I lobbied her for a couple of years before she eventually agreed to have these briefings. We called them briefings because they weren't official hearings, you know, blessed by some committee. But we held an all-day series of briefings in a beautiful room on Capitol Hill. And that was a result of, you know, like, I think 2 years of lobbying. I think I remember first trying to catch up with her backstage during one of the first peace rallies in D.C.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you did that. And I actually, I produced a DVD, too, Behind Every Terrorist, There's a Bush, which had our musical comedy event, which was the benefit for the first Citizens Inquiry into 9/11, the San Francisco one. And the second half has a documentary of that, but then the other half is David Ray Griffin's presentation at those briefings that Cynthia organized for the Black Congressional Caucus. And I just made another 1,000 of them, and I've been just giving them away and getting them out as much as possible, just to raise more awareness about 9/11 and also Cynthia's role, because I think while we have noticed that she is the most courageous member of Congress when she was in Congress, she had a huge battle to face, and I know that her work inspired me to run for Congress in 2006. I thought she shouldn't be there all by herself, that there should be lots of people in Congress championing this issue, not just one person.
Well, she certainly did it, and, you know, like you said, she has a real spine, and, you know, twice they went after her in primaries, and, you know, I guess it's freed her up to run for president now, so kudos to her for stepping up to that challenge, and you know, hopefully she'll get some more press attention soon. But you and I have been at it a long time, and I wanted to ask you how you think we're doing. I mean, where are we at? You know, now. I mean, what's your take on how this so-called movement has progressed or evolved?
Well, It's been really challenging, and I think what Cynthia says about we're trying to do something that has never been done before, and there are just enormous challenges we face, and each time we have an obstacle, we have to figure out how to go around it. And I know, like with the deception dollars, we created those because the media was blocking us. It was a way to overcome censorship and to reach out directly towards people. And every time we have an obstacle, we have to figure out, you know, a new way to go around it. And so I think in some ways we know that the movement has grown and is getting stronger, but we're always finding new challenges. And it's interesting too, especially Now that you and I, we could actually talk on the phone. This is being recorded on the archives. Anybody will be able to listen to it anytime who looks for it on the internet. And there's people probably listening to it now. It's broadcast live in Austin as well as in Oklahoma. But remember when we first had our phone conference calls and I got pretty frustrated because I was wanting to be out on the streets and doing things. And we just didn't have the same technological capacity that we did now. And when you organized the 9/11 and the public safety and you got GNN to make a film, and then I started working with GNN here, and I was saying, oh, we need a video because people didn't have DVD players back then. They had just VHS players. And now we can burn DVDs so cheaply and people are giving them away for free. So the movement is empowered. There are a lot more people doing things right now. I think we have raised consciousness and awareness.
Absolutely. You know, when you're talking, it brought to mind, you know, this, the fact that I think this effort to bring forward and challenge the official story of, you know, what we've been told happened on 9/11, with Loose Change, it was the first mega hit in terms of a YouTube video, a full-length, the first version, a true documentary. The third cut, final cut, was closer to a real documentary, but it was the first big documentary that was a hit on the Internet. It was the first Internet hit. In fact, that led to the Vanity Fair article. You know, and in the profile of the producers, and so you know, it could be that this movement, this effort, and it's international now, of course, you know, was the first to take full advantage of the duplication capabilities of just churning out DVDs, and the YouTube revolution happened, boom, and you know, you could reach literally millions of people had been reached through these alternative, media. And so it's, I guess that's a good thing. It would be nice to see it translated into something substantial. I understand you had Les on last half hour talking about the ballot initiative, and that's sort of perhaps a natural evolution of what we've been doing on our East Coast, West Coast, you know, with the citizens' commissions and so on, inquiries.
Well,
so that's encouraging.
But there's a lot of political developments, like the parliamentarian who spoke out in Japan, also the parliamentarian in Italy who created the film Zero, an investigation of 9/11, and showed it in the European Parliament.
Yes, they went to Belgium and showed it there.
Right, mm-hmm. And John Bursell has been organizing conferences in Australia. He's trying to get the Green Party of Australia to get on board. Mm-hmm. And I know having State Senator Karen Johnson speak out was really a significant milestone.
In Arizona,
Pardon?
That was in Arizona?
That was in Arizona. And I got a call just a few days ago from Jesse Ventura. And he's going to be joining Karen in Arizona and speaking there on the 10th and the 11th and the 12th of September. We had invited him to speak at our event. We're also organizing our fourth annual 9/11 Film Festival in Oakland. And I've...
Are you saying fourth annual?
Yeah.
You've done this 4 years in a row?
Yeah.
Jeez, Carol, you're tireless. I just can't believe it. How do you keep doing it?
it's been particularly challenging, and I'll tell you, it has been really difficult for me. Last year, we achieved a lot. We put on so many events, and I basically collapsed last December. We put on the Tea Party for 9/11 Truth in San Francisco. And we got some good media coverage. A lot of people came. But the next day I was on the radio show and I couldn't even finish the show. I was in so much pain. I threw up my whole dinner.
Goodness.
It was pretty gross. Nobody listened to the archive of the December show. But I was taken by ambulance to Stanford Hospital. And
oh my goodness, Carol. I had no idea. That's awful.
I had I had kidney stones, and then after the kidney stones, they discovered I had all these lesions through my pancreas. So I actually was asked by the Green Party to run for Congress again, and I said, but I'm too weak, I can't get on the ballot. And the Green Party helped me get the signatures to get on the ballot. But then I found out that I had all these tumors in my pancreas, and that can be a little problem.
War is over if you want it. Peace.
Peace. P-E-A-C-E. P-E-A-C-E.
So this is springtime. The years have been dark. The sun is now shining.
Hello, welcome back to Question More, Organizing Resistance. I'm Carol Breyer speaking with Kyle Hentz, and we were so carried away with our discussion that we just kind of missed the break. But I would like to have Kyle just describe your current projects. Also, one of my projects intersected with yours because I had all these crazy emails today over the film In Their Own Words. And so do you want to tell me a bit more about
sure.
In Their Own Words, its evolution, and also 9/11 Press for Truth? I must say that we did premiere that in Oakland. We have had these. This is going to be the fourth annual film festival, but we have been premiering a lot of films, including 9/11 Press for Truth. And I think it was one of the best.
Yeah, you did really well out there.
Yeah.
Well, we're grateful to you for that. And it was one of the most successful screenings of the film in a very high profile theater in Oakland. And yeah, that helped kick us off back in 2006. We did a premiere in New York City at the Pioneer Theater, and then I went down to D.C. for a premiere at the theater, Landmark Theater downtown in D.C. in Washington. Ray went out west to L.A., and then not long after that, I think you had your event. So the film
We did two, because I told you we didn't have time. So we did one with Ken Ellis. And it was the same time as the New York premiere.
Uh-huh.
And then we had a film festival after your premiere. but it was like September 6th. It was the same time as the New York premiere. And then afterwards, I was running for Congress, but I thought the film and breaking 9/11 was more important. So we showed it in Palo Alto. We did another premiere with Peter Dale Scott and Paul Thompson, and tried to break the story locally, because Paul used to go to Stanford. Daniel Pearl was also somebody who went to Stanford, who used to work for the Palo Alto Weekly, and I think he was killed sort of following up what was happening in Pakistan. So it was there was a local hook, and we got a big cover story in the Stanford Daily, but the major papers didn't pick up on the film and the story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, the film has gone on to, we cut a 1 hour version of the film, and we picked up a distributor out of London, and we were able to sell it all over Europe. So it's, you know, it's been screened in Poland and Spain, Norway, Al Jazeera picked up the film, and then.
Has it been translated, or did they do it in English with subtitles?
It was English with subtitles, and then it's been translated, and I think French subtitles have been done as well. And we did a tour through 8 cities in Europe last fall, and that was the 1 year after the film came out. We did a fall tour through Europe, so we did Paris and Brussels and I think Geneva, and it was
When you say we, was it you and Ray, or who else?
Oh, we weren't there. It was taken around by a group in France, the Reopen 9/11 group in France, and it was pretty well received. We had good attendance, and then prior to that, it was actually picked up and bought by Foxtel, if you can believe it, in Down Under, so that it was aired on the History Channel in both New Zealand and in Australia, and then we also sold it to Free Speech TV and Link TV, and Link TV has probably aired it a dozen times on satellite here in the States. Okay. So, you know, we've reached a lot of people with the film, and our goal was to make a film that could translate a lot of the questions and the underlying, you know, premise that we've not been told the whole truth, that the official story is, you know, inadequate or doesn't tell the truth about what happened, and that there's been a cover-up. And we wanted to try to reach Republicans. We wanted to try to reach someone who even hadn't asked question one about the events of 9/11. And so far, you know, all the feedback we've gotten has been really positive and said, well, it seems we have succeeded in you know, reaching that goal. And then in their own words was like, we had all of this footage, lots of interviews that just didn't make it into the final cut because we didn't want to have a film too long. You know, we wanted to try to keep it under 90 minutes because there's a lot of material. It's very complex material, and it's tough to make a documentary about this subject and yes, keep it interesting and moving. So we just took a lot of our footage that the interviews didn't make it in and some of the news clips that we had secured. And Ray worked very hard to put together that. He did the editing and everything on In Their Own Words. And we touch on a number of things that aren't in Press for Truth, the war games. We talk about the FBI informant who was living with the two hijackers in San Diego, Hazmi and Almodar. Project for New American Century, the insider trading is mentioned. There's a great interview with Michael Isikoff who talks about Footnote 44, which is how the FBI, the CIA spiked a cable that was about to be sent to the FBI informing them of the arrival of one of the alleged hijackers, Hazmi and Almodar, in San Diego, and how this guy, Tom Wilshire, killed this cable that was drawn up by Doug Miller, to be sent to the FBI. And it's been documented, I think, five or six separate occasions in which the FBI withheld intelligence from the FBI over the course of beginning in, I think, January of 2000, leading right up to right before the attacks. This information about those two in San Diego was withheld. And it was mentioned in Lawrence Wright's book, The Looming Tower. You know, there's been speculation by FBI agents that the CIA was protecting some kind of operation, but we've never gotten to the bottom of it. And it's the one thing that, you know, even commissioners, and certainly Philip Shannon, who wrote the commission, agree upon, and that is that there has been a cover-up of surrounding this San Diego cell. But with the nature of that cover-up, the nature of what happened, we just don't know. We just have a lot of clues that have not been fully pursued. And that's actually the subject of our current project. It's called Footnote 44. So we're in the fundraising phase, and we've got an extensive treatment all drawn up. And Bob Baer, is advising on the project. And we've already done an interview with Tom Kane, if you can believe it.
Wow. Yeah. although I must admit, I find it really amazing to think that you can work with people who we know have been covering things up. I know when we did the San Francisco inquiry, Joyce Lynn gave a presentation on the cover-up commission.
Sure.
And Newsweek was there, and it was just amazing to see their cover story the next week without a single word looking critically at the commission. It was just, you know, amazing to me. I think it wasn't until that New Yorker came out with that article, whitewashes public service, like years later, it seems like.
Oh, the Harper's article.
Or was it Harper's? Okay,
yeah.
Harper's, right.
Yep.
That people began to realize, maybe these commissioners aren't telling us the truth. But I can't help but think of Keene and Hamilton is great cover-up artists and not really...
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. And but they've also conceded that their report, that they didn't have enough time to do everything. I mean, we Kane is on the record now, you know, speaking to this question of the subject of footnote 44, which is this spiked cable. And you have other people like Bob Carey in his review of Philip Shannon's book that has now come out and said that he believes there should be further investigation in Congress, and that he's has particular questions about the Saudi role in connection with the San Diego cell. And so, you know, we don't know what's going to be at the end of that trail, but I think that you, the fact that you have two commissioners conceding that this is not the final word or the last word on 9/11, and both of them willing to concede that there's something fishy, or, you know, we don't know the whole story behind this cover-up around the San Diego cell, I think it's significant, and I think it's something that any commission, if we have another one, should look into further.
Well, it feels like onions, lots of layers here, and you have to keep peeling them back, and there's like it seems like there's like cover-ups of cover-ups of cover-ups. I don't know if you've seen, there's another book out called False Flag 9/11, How Bush, Cheney, and the Saudis Created the Post-9/11 World by Philip Marshall.
No.
It just came out in the last week. And actually, Philip Marshall called me because we're at our film festival. We're going to be showing, in addition to In Their Own Words, we'll be showing Zero, an Investigation into 9/11, and also 9/11 False Flag, the German documentary.
Oh, which, excellent. I think the music is coming up. We must be going to break.
Whoops. You're right. Okay, well, we'll talk some more when this break is finished, actually, for the second hour of Questioning War, Organizing Resistance.